Not the right one. Not the right one either. I'm very good at this.
Here we go. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. Back this month is our good friend and resident pediatrician, Dr. Jay Soute. How are you on this fine day, Dr. Jay?
It's a beautiful sunny Monday in Connecticut.
Oh boy, is winter falling upon the Northeast as we speak?
Yeah, it's getting down into the 30s at night. I haven't seen any snowflakes yet, but it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, it's getting down in the 50s here in Southern California. So you know, it's fun. The heater is kicking on, as they say. I am.
Are you in any danger of being engulfed by flames out where you are?
No, no. In fact, I feel bad because there's some people that I've been helping, and I'm just not the guy who gets excited by that. You know, and the radio station I used to work for, the news station, is now covering the fire 7 days a week. So they've preempted their weekend programming, including the Chargers broadcast. They kicked it to a sister station to cover the fires. And I just kept feeling like, is this a bigger deal? I don't know. Maybe it's because I've grown up in, I've always been in Northern California for, well, now, yeah, most of my life was Northern California until 2005. But still, the fires don't scare me. We had some smokiness and stuff like that. Last year, you could see the flames in the hills from my backyard. But this year, it's pretty far away from me. But
And then one other question.
Yeah.
That caravan that's going to be invading our country, are they coming through your neighborhood?
The caravan? I'm not familiar.
Oh, you're not familiar. Yeah, they're not talking about it on the news since the election's over. So it's kind of fallen down, that caravan of immigrants that's approaching the border down near you.
Oh, really? Oh, well, we are now a sanctuary state.
President called it an invasion. That's why I was worried. That's all.
So far, as far as I could tell, and trust me, we will break it here first on this podcast, is if Mexico decides to make a move and take back California, then trust me, I will make all of you people aware post haste.
You're going to cover it.
I will. Yeah, we'll be wall-to-wall coverage with the invasion. But as of right now, it's still the same waspy rich people who are losing their homes in Malibu, which is not fair to make light of it. But
such a beautiful area, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's funny, though. I imagine the rest of the world watching the news coverage, if it is anything like the coverage is here. And maybe it's not. Maybe it is a nationwide story because you're hearing about it. But that it's like there was Charlie Sheen couldn't find his dad. And then a local Fox affiliate found Martin Sheen, who had been evacuated from his home in Malibu. There's also,
thank God.
They were
thank
very,
God.
Yeah, right. They were very worried about the other thing is that we hear lists of the celebrities that have lost their homes. Like, not, it was last year during the fire. We had another big fire last year, and I knew people, like regular people, that lost their homes and were watching them burn on the news, including a very close friend of my wife's who had just retired. She had retired, gotten a new place that she was going to be like, that was going to be her forever home now. And then she was on vacation somewhere in Central America celebrating her retirement, only to find out that her house had burned down while she was gone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it sucks. But I'm really sorry for those that are tragically affected by the fire, even if you happen to be a celebrity, because I know a lot of celebrities listen to this podcast. But it is funny for me to watch that on the news where it's, you know, and then everybody's worried about the giraffe, Stanley, as well, which I thought is very interesting. It's just it makes us seem very Southern California. Like, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's something that seems to happen every year, unfortunately.
But we are in to get back to your area of expertise in the Worsham House. We are in a cycle of sickness. Jack on Halloween had a little bit of a sore throat and spiked a small fever. And then the following week, Jacob had it. And then I seem to have gotten something entirely different. I don't know. Can a cold, can I have the same like cold virus, but have it, my body react to it differently? Because they all had sore throats and a fever. I spiked a fever, but then immediately it was all in my chest. I never had any kind of sore throat. And then now, just as I'm getting better, literally the day I'm getting better, my wife is now riddled with sickness and immobile right now.
It very well could be the same virus, but you may have gotten a bigger dose of it because you were exposed to it in your house by your kids, so that you may have more significant symptoms than they did.
Oh, that makes sense. Because it, well, and it's hitting my wife the hardest so far. I mean,
yeah, she's the last one to fall.
Yeah, see, literally, she. I was afraid that I was going to be late recording the show because she might need me to go to the store to get her some medicine or something. Now she's taking a nap in the house. And it's a perfect time in a 4-day weekend. We have kids. The Veterans Day is today, the day we're recording this. And then, so the kids have no school. And then tomorrow, because it's parent-teacher conference week, the first day of parent-teacher conference week is what they call pupil-free day. And it's where the teachers are working, but they do not have pupils. They're getting ready for parent-teacher conferences, and they need a day. And I'm not begrudging them that. But 4-day weekend of illness is what's going on in the Worsham house.
Well, just wait till Thanksgiving when families from out of town gather around a table and share a meal together. That's when the shit really hits the fan.
And when you hear these things, is it like a slot machine paying out, like ding a ling 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 ling? Is that how it rings for you?
You know, I don't want to work that hard anymore, Justin. You know, I just assume they all stay healthy and I just do checkups, you know. But thank God for Thanksgiving. Thank God for water fountains in elementary schools. And thank God for ChapStick. Those are the three things that really get the wheels turning for my business in the
ChapStick?
Fall.
ChapStick? How does that? Because people share it?
First and second graders. Hey, what flavor is that? Can I try it? Boom. They might as well just call it StrepStick.
Really?
Sure.
Wow, that's fascinating because it's funny that you said first and second graders because my son, older son wasn't really interested in it, but the younger son loves to wear mom's. He calls it ChapStick, but it's lip gloss. And
oh, okay,
I'm sure there are many examples of me being unintentionally homophobic, but I just. There's a part of me that's like, do we have to put lip gloss on him though? Like, do, and then of course the big
California though,
it's right? California. Exactly. Yeah, he'll be wearing lip gloss and eyeliner like it's 1984 in just a short time.
He'll have the eyeliner tattooed on, so he'll never have to apply it again.
That's funny. I muted the mic so I could cough, and then I couldn't give the laugh that deserved. So far you have dodged. Does a doctor get sick during the cold and flu season, or do you scrub up your hands so much and everything that it's not an issue?
I have a baseline congestion that lasts 365 days a year, but I never get sick. So I'm constant. That's the payoff. I never get a fever. I never feel ill, but I am constantly congested.
So you're like when you blow your nose, it's always green or yellow. It's never clear right. And okay.
Blowing shit out of my nose that looks like partially cooked bacon 365 days a year.
Oh, God. Oh, God, that's a visual.
It was supposed to be visual and textural.
Maybe you can also offer some tips. Is that I've got so now I've got this chest congestion. And you know how when you're over the sickness and then it goes into this thing where you have to clear out all of the phlegm, right?
Right. Right.
And so whenever I get like a chest cold and I cough, it's always like it's thicker than usual. I've heard people talk about eating like lemons. Like if you put lemon in some tea, it's a natural expectorant. Are there other natural expectorants out there that we could use or other ways that we could clear our phlegm out for us?
I use a cigarette. smoking a cigarette really gets me coughing. Really gets me get all that juice up from deep down in the bronchioles of my lungs. It comes, you know, pretty up after, you know, half a pack or so. It's all clear. So
right.
It works pretty well.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Non-medicine stuff. They just did a study because they don't want us using the cough and cold medicines on kids under 4. So they did a study where they looked at comparing the cough medicine, the suppressant, the dextromethorphan, at bedtime to giving kids a teaspoon of honey at bedtime. And in terms of number of times kids cough overnight, the honey group did better.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Did better. Wow.
So, you know, for kids under four but are over one, because we can't give honey to kids under 1 year of age, but in that age group, you know, one of the first things to do in addition to running the humidifier and sucking out their nose might be to offer them a teaspoon of honey before they go to sleep. And that's been known to help too. But for someone your age, I mean, I wouldn't be dicking around with lemon juice in a tea. I'd take something with medicine in it, you know. I mean, maybe lemon juice works for California people, but it certainly isn't working out on the northeast coast, that's for sure.
Solid good point. So I should go get some Mucinex and
Mucinex DM, yeah. And that'll give you the expectorant to loosen things up a little bit, and the DM so that you can suppress the cough at least a little bit. We don't want to suppress the cough completely, because you know, you got junk down there that needs to get coughed up. So yeah. Coughing during the day is fine, but if you're coughing so much at night that you can't get restful sleep, I definitely take something.
How long? My kid is 10 years old. I've told many a tale on this show about how he will not take medicine. He could take a Tylenol, he could take an Advil. And for a while, he was taking Sudafed, but anytime I tried to give him the Mucinex for kids, once he hit, I think it was six is how old he had to be able to take that, if memory serves.
Yeah.
And he would just vomit every time he took it. And so,
it's nasty shit.
Yeah. So, but there's like, they make the Alka-Seltzer Cold Plus. That's the, I know everybody has like some kind of weird loyalty or a cold ritual, right? Just like I was foolish enough to talk to a doctor about using lemon to get the phlegm out of my mouth, my lungs, right? Like everybody, even the ones that take medicine, though, everybody's got like a hangover-esque cocktail that they do. Mine is about a steady routine of cold Advil Colded Sinus Alka-Seltzer mixed with about 3 to 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C each day. Like I'll take a 1,000 milligrams or 2,000 milligrams with each meal is how I do it. And I find that that helps me kick a cold in about 3 days. And I'm sure you're about to drop some knowledge on me to say, well, the average cold is about 3 days, you dumb shit.
Well, the acute symptoms of the cold are only going to last 3 to 5 days, and then you start recovering, unless something settles in your ears or your sinuses or your chest. But your cocktail sounds pretty good to me. I'm a big fan of Advil Cold and Sinus. Advil takes care of the pain, the fever, the headache, the achiness, and the Sudafed in it helps to clear out your nose. You don't really need much more than that if it's just a simple cough and cold. And, you know, you got to take it every 6 hours because it only gives you relief for those 6 hours. Some of my patients, particularly those from the Middle East in my office, think if you give one dose of Tylenol, it's supposed to smite the fire god forever. And it doesn't. And then I get calls back in 4 hours saying, well, the fever is back, Dr. Sute. What do we do now? And I said, you give them Tylenol again. And in 4 hours, rather than calling me, give them Tylenol again. So, you know, that was my weekend. That's why I'm a little beaten down. I was on call this weekend and lots and lots and lots of phone calls, kids with respiratory stuff and the puking stuff is starting. And we're not seeing any flu vaccines. But Saturday morning, I saw only 5 sick visits, but I ran 70 kids through the office for their flu vaccines between 9 and 11. So
wow.
It's relentless. You know, we've now vaccinated probably about 60% of our practice, and you know, we'll continue doing it till the end of December, and then at the first of the year, then we'll just immunize the new babies that are turning 6 months that need to get it for the first time. But, you know, most of the kids that want the flu vaccine, I mean, we start at Labor Day. We give it till New Year's Eve. They better find a time somewhere in that long period of time to get their flu vaccine done, because I'm done with the big kids after the first of the year.
You said Advil Cold and Sinus that you liked because it basically had a trifecta of ingredients. I use the Alka-Seltzer version, which also has a decongestant and a little acetaminophen.
But it doesn't have Sudafed as the decongestant or phenylephrine. That's because phenylephrine is the one they replace Sudafed with the over-the-counter ones.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work as well as Sudafed. So getting the Advil Cold and Sinus from behind the counter, you know, where the pharmacist is, it's not prescription, but it has Sudafed in it. At least in Connecticut, you have to give your driver's license to get a Sudafed medication.
Yeah, because for a while, my cocktail was Mucinex-related, always Mucinex-related. And because I think it was our pediatrician who it's, or maybe it was our actual general practitioner. I'd totally forgotten this conversation until now, which makes me a regular run-of-the-mill moron patient, I'm sure, on your end. But that she said the expectorant is what's best because whatever is that your body's kind of grabbed in with that mucus and phlegm, you kick it out. Like, that's what she
right.
wants.
And you don't want, and you don't want to keep it in except when you're sleeping. You know, so something with DM at bedtime isn't a bad idea. But during the day, your cough should be productive and clear that stuff out.
And how this is going to be a stupid question, but how much of a difference is it if, like, you cough a little bit and you swallow it or if you spit it out? Like, is it does it make a huge difference?
Different strokes, whatever. Just get it out of your lungs.
So it's OK. So whether it goes through your digestive tract or you spit it down the sink, does not matter.
Right. I find it interesting because when I ask, you know, kids if their cough is productive, if they're coughing anything out, you know, they'll both answer, boys and girls will both say yes. And then I'll ask, what does it look like? And only the boys look at their spit and sputum and loogies. Girls don't tend to look. If they cough it up and spit it out, it's gone for good. They don't care to know what it looked like. But yeah. Boys, they're very detailed in their descriptions.
I don't have daughters. I have sons, yeah. And there's been more than one occasion where my son has, when he was younger, now they're older, but when they were younger, they would want to show me a booger that they'd mined out of their nose.
Absolutely.
There was, and then now, even at the older age, although it happens quite less frequently, but every once in a while, they will wipe their ass and want me to come and take a look at what they found.
To make sure they got it all?
No. They want me to see, like, if they feel like the color is weird or something like that.
Well, that's good they do that, though, because most kids don't until it's, like, a horrible situation. I see kids who come in with, like, 2 months of diarrhea and 10 pounds of weight loss, and the parents weren't even aware of it because the kid didn't say anything.
Yeah, my kids are.
So you got good kids that will come to you and show you their shit.
Here's what
that's
you,
good.
You do. You put a food coloring laden topping on any kind of hot cocoa, because yep. There's a local coffee shop here that is owned by a family that our kids go to the same elementary school. They just opened it. It's one of the kids' favorite places to go for breakfast. They go and they get a pastry and they get like a firework coffee if it's July. And I can't remember what the current seasonal drink is, but they put lots of like Jimmy John's or Jim Jim's or whatever they call those things. The
shot little, sprinkles?
The little sprinkle things, right? They put lots of that, and I think they put a little food coloring. And one of the added bonuses, it is not, I don't think, the real reason why my kids love this drink, but definitely the added bonus is that they shit blue for about 2 days after they've had this drink. And they love it. Now, the first time it happened,
they better not use red food coloring.
Then. Right, exactly. Well, yeah, because that's what it made me think of, is that when they play, when my older son was playing tackle football, you have to have a clear mouthpiece or an off color. Like, it cannot be black. It cannot be red, because they need to be able to see if you have it in there. And then they also want to be able to see if you're bleeding. Through the mouthpiece, which is very interesting. But to me, it's very much akin to the first time somebody eats beets, like a large amount of beets for the first time.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they take a look in the bowl and they're, oh, my God, I'm dying. And but the first time it happened, that's my older son was like, oh, my God, my poop is blue. And all of us freaked out. Like, we all were like, what? That he hooked me in there. I got in there. And then when I saw it, I realized, I was like, what did you eat? And then they said ugly mug. And I go, oh, it must be the food coloring in that thing. And now it's like, oh, let's go to the ugly mug. And then after they go, oh, boy. And they announce it. Yeah.
Not only do they get a delicious hot chocolate to drink, they get an added bonus a day later.
Yeah. Dinner and a show is what they like to call it. But
I do see, you know, we tell kids when they're having diarrhea or whatever, you know, clear liquids. But I make a point of telling them, you know, no red clear liquids like, you know, Hawaiian Punch or Kool-Aid or any of the red Gatorades. Because if it comes out red the other end, then we have to worry it's blood. If it comes out blue the other end, well, at least we know where it's coming from. Oh, and by the way, I said this at my comedy act the other day. I don't know why it popped into my head. But under no circumstances in 25 years of being a pediatrician have I needed nor wanted to see a diaper full of a child's shit. There is no reason to bring a diaper full of shit to my office. I don't believe that there is any other profession out there where part of the job is having people bring shit into the office.
I beg to differ. Can't you just take one of your popsicle sticks and take a sample of that and decide what's wrong with our kid?
No.
Or not, visual
I'm not
inspection?
The shit whisperer.
No?
I'm not the shit whisperer, okay? There's been no circus. Take a picture. I don't need the physical stool in my presence. I have moms that'll bring in the last 10 poopy diapers and lay them out on the table for me to examine.
Nuh-uh.
It's unnecessary, people.
Nuh-uh.
Unnecessary.
They bring them in like a plastic bag just in case?
Uh-huh.
And how do you awkwardly deal with
them? I brought them all in just in case you wanted to see them. And I said, well, under no circumstances have I had a reason in 25 years to examine children's shit. So,
unfortunately, I have to be a jerk and cut us off there because that concludes the free portion of this episode. If you would like to listen to the rest of this episode and all of the other full episodes of the Dad Podcast, all you have to do is go to thedadpodcast.com. That's thedadpodcast.com. Include that thedadpodcast.com. Right there on the homepage, there are links where you can become a paid premium subscriber and get all of the shows full length moving forward. If you have any issues with that, send me an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening and thanks for your support.